clean water.
Sure, with due respect to all of you, and the family needs to make some decisions. I understand they have some options. They need to exercise one soon.
All right, that's Governor Deval Patrick, and he's talking about this tug of war over the body of one of the Boston Marathon bombers. That's Tamerlan Tsarnaev's body. Nobody wants it. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. It's like a wicked game of hot potato with a corpse. Seriously. Hey, everybody, that's where we begin this road on this hour of America tonight. Kate Delaney, happy to be here with all of you. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Maybe you caught Iron Man 3. You know, I went and checked it out. The original movie was sold out, so I was stuck with 3D, but 3D was pretty good for this one. We had some passes. We just had to pay a couple of bucks extra, and it ended up being a jammed movie, too. But I thought the storyline was good. I'm going to say thumbs up. We do our cheap movie reviews at the tail end of the week. Listen then, I'll have more. But if you like to go and see things on the big screen, it's worth it. Go catch it at a matinee. Wait till some of the fever over it dies out a little bit. $175 million domestically. It's $680 million and climbing altogether if you take into account all the money that's coming from elsewhere, from Spain and Italy and you name the country. But people are really clamoring to see this third installment of Iron Man. And I'm going to say, like I said, it's worth it. You like big screen stuff? If not, wait until it comes out on DVD. It's worth the rental. All right, I started off talking about Tamerlan Tsarnaev's body. The mother wants the body back in Russia. Of course, she doesn't have any money to bring the body back. It's like $5,000 to have it flown over. The person who runs the funeral home where he is right now is stuck at this point because nobody wants to take his body in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where Harvard is. They've said, no, we do not want him here. One guy even started a fund to get his body out of the area because he can't sleep at night. It makes him sick, he said. So he's a retired maintenance worker, and he plunked down $500 in a fund to get him out of the country. Peter Steffen, who now has become famous because he's the owner of the Graham, Putnam, and Mahoney funeral home that has the body, said he hasn't been able to find any cemetery anywhere in Massachusetts that will inter Tsarnaev's remains. And the answer is what they're all saying is, why should we accept them here? They're worried about repercussions from people who have loved ones in the cemeteries that don't want that body in there, or even other people. So they're appealing all over the place to try to get somebody to help. How can we get the body, the remains, out of the United States? It looks like it's very doubtful that he will be buried in Massachusetts. Very, very doubtful. But, you know, who knows? If it is, it's an unmarked grave, and good luck trying to keep that a secret there. I don't think so. You got to think about when he died, April 19th. April 19th. You know, there have been other times in our history where we've had to wrestle with what do you do with somebody who's notorious and has done something absolutely unbelievable. And this is certainly one of those cases. When they decided to detonate homemade pressure cooker bombs packed with black powder nails, bolts, and BBs, that changed everything right near the finish of the Boston Marathon. That was it, because so many people who lived through that lost their limbs. There's not a lot of sympathy whatsoever at all. There's no sympathy, of course not, for these brothers. And one will answer for what happened, Joe Tsarnaev, who was captured and is in a prison hospital outside Boston recovering from the gunshot wounds. He's charged with using and conspiring, as you all know, to use a weapon of mass destruction, and might face the death penalty if he is convicted. How do you feel about paying tax online for the stuff that you order online. In the Senate today, they passed that bill. Of course, now the House has to do it, and then the president would have to sign it. It's 69 to 27. Some people like it, some people don't, but you're the one who's going to have to come up with what the state tax is. Bummer. Let's go to Pete in Texas. He's our leadoff man. Hello, Peter.
Is this the Kate Delaney?
It is indeed.
Well, super duper. I have got the sure cure for your little buddy that blew up all the people in Boston.
Okay, what is it?
Excuse me. Well, since we can't afford to ship him over there, we're going to let his body catch up with his soul and cremate him and put him in a pressure cooker and send him home on a FedEx box.
Oh, that's a wicked, wicked idea, but it's good. Yeah.
But,
why not? Cremate him.
You know, but cremate him and put him in a nice little urn and send him home to mama.
Yeah, I agree. Cremate him. That's it. Mm-hmm.
You know, that $500, he's halfway there, you know.
Yeah, some places you can even do it for $500. You know, it's interesting. And, Pete, you know why they won't do that? Because what is the Muslim tradition? Washing the body, preserving the body. That's what, the Osama bin Laden thing, dump him at sea. That's the whole reason, because they don't want cremation, but too bad. Guess we didn't want to have bombs exploded and killing people and injuring them.
Exactly. And, it's out of the family's hands. He is a ward of the state.
Yeah.
The body is a ward of the state. So he's a pauper. So we do what we got to do. This guy's got to make a living. This funeral director's got to make a living. You got to get it out of there. You know, if this is business now, somebody needs to make an executive decision, lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. That's a good saying. I agree. Absolutely.
You know, but we're, I don't know. There's a bunch of wimps in this country now. The president all the way around that administration. No, everybody's walking on eggshells. Come on, make a decision. Do something. Blow something up. Let's go.
Yeah, make a decision. Make a decision. It's interesting you say that, Pete. Thanks for the call. I just happened to see on HBO there's a documentary that's out, and it's about Osama bin Laden and what happened in getting Osama bin Laden. And a lot of the people involved in that chase and the CIA talk on it, and it's incredible. I can't think of the actual name of it. I'll figure it out, but it was good. It was good to watch it, and really some of the people who are our undercover agents and who speak Arabic and are in the Middle East say, this is not the end. And listen, just what Pete said there, you got to make up your mind. It's go time. And when you have to go, you have to go. And that's it. You just have to make the decision. You cannot sit on the sidelines. And it seems like we're sitting on the sidelines too much sometimes. And in this case of the body, do something. Make a decision. Do something. That's it. Get rid of them. I think Pete's right. Cremate them. They got to move on. We got to move on from this thing. Protesters every single day out in that neighborhood. It's craziness. Insanity, in fact. Hey, coming up here on America Tonight, my pal Mike Bonacorsi, so that you don't have to live through the insanity of a tough retirement, he's got your advice. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.
All right, you love this guy because you always end up sending me questions and tell me to ask Mike this and I ask Mike that. So you know who I'm talking about. Mike Bonacorsi, his resume is too long. It would take us the entire show to read it, but rest assured, he is a financial guru, certified and all that stuff. His book, Retirement Readiness, Creating Your Vision, Knowing Your Position, and Preparing for Your Future. Mike, how are you?
Good, good. How about yourself, Kate?
I'm good. And the big question, the one it seems like we always come around to this, how do I figure out and how much do I need to retire?
You know, everybody that finds out I'm a financial planner says, hey, those are the first questions out of their mouth. Do I have enough money to retire or how much do I need to retire? And, you know, my pat answer is, I don't have a clue because I don't know enough about you. So, you know, how much will you need to retire? Well, you know, there's a lot of things that depends on. The lifestyle you want to live in retirement, whether or not you have outstanding debt, where you're going to live in retirement, are you going to downsize, you're going to stay where you are, health care costs, how's your health? You know, do you think it'll stay the same? Is it going to get much worse as time goes on? There's so many factors out there. What's inflation going to do over time? There's so many different factors that figure in as to whether or not you have enough money for retirement. It's really difficult. You know, we used to talk about the old, rule of thumb, 60%, 70%, 80% of your current income. And, you know, I think for a lot of people out there, they're going to, you know, need close to the same amount of money out of pocket now as they're spending, you know, while they're working, and they're going to be close to that again during retirement.
So, you know what that brings to mind to me, that if you're healthy, if you enjoy your work, maybe you should work a little bit longer than you think you want to.
You got that dead on. I'm a big believer in that, Kate, and we've talked about this a lot of times. I'm a huge believer in why stop working if you enjoy your job, if you're healthy, if it's something you can continue to do, why stop? You know, retirement's a long time now. It isn't 10, 15 years. It could be 20, 25, it could be 30 years for a lot of us. And that's a long time to make your money last.
Yeah, I agree. And there is something to this, Mike, and you can attest to this more than me because you see these people that come into your office in all different shape financially, some good, some not so good, some terribly off, you know, all different levels. And I think it's really rough when you get older, when you're sweating out how much money you have and you're worried and you don't want to burden your family. I've seen that, and that's rough, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That's got to be the toughest time. You know, as you get older and you start having financial issues, I mean, if you're a few years out of retirement and you question your finances, you can always go back to work, you know, work part-time, whatever it is. But somebody that's older that really has to start sacrificing, especially the necessities. They sacrifice on what they're eating. They sacrifice on their medication. They sacrifice on their, on their general living conditions. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah, I agree. Now, and this is a big question, too, that I think confuses people, and this goes to how much do I need when I retire? What can I expect? How is the income taxed? How's it going to be taxed?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's always a question. You know, there's still a lot of people that come in and think there's a special rate once you reach a certain age of retirement. And the reality of it is it's going to be taxed to you as income. So money that you receive from pensions or retirement plans, these are going to be taxed to you just like ordinary income or whatever your income tax bracket is, whatever the income tax requirement is for a certain level of income, that's what you're going to pay for. So that's going to be your income tax bracket. If your earnings are, you know, in the 15% tax bracket, I mean, that's what you're going to pay. Money that comes out of things like Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks, well, if they qualify, if you've met the 5-year rule, if you're of age and you start drawing money out of these, there'll be tax-free distributions. That's an advantage. Even things like Social Security will receive taxes, may possibly receive taxes depending on your income, and that's also taxed at your current tax bracket. So most of the money that you take that has a tax liability in the form of income, whether it's pensions, IRA distributions, things like this, it's going to be taxed at your current income rate. So it'll be your earnings and whatever rate you're taxed at.
All right, we got a couple of questions here. This one from a guy I love who always emails us, Jake in Austin. He said, say hi to Mike B when he's on and tell him I'm 35 years old and I have just a couple of $1,000 saved because I never worked for a company that offered me a 401k. But finally, I hit the mother lode after I went back to school. How much should I try to put into that 401k? So I guess he can put a certain amount, then it can be aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, take a look at your money. At least put in what the company will match. If the company offers to match a percentage of your contribution, at least put enough in to maximize that contribution. They're maxed. If not, you're leaving money on the table. You know, they're offering you money and you're walking away from it. So you want to make sure you put enough in to get the full company match. Over and above that, you know, I would put away, you know, literally as much as I can. This year, I believe you can put away up to 17.5, into a 401k at his age. That's a fair amount of money. And it, you know, at 30 years old, a few years, of contributions of that size, if it's affordable, can make a huge difference towards retirement planning. And the key is that he's in his 30s, he's feeling young. Putting away the larger amounts now, if he can afford it, will make a difference. Now, once again, retirement planning is important, but don't sacrifice, you know, some of your necessities to get that money away. You know, making sure that your family is fed and making sure your housing and all that is covered is far more important than putting money into your 401k. And the other thing is, save some money outside of your 401k if you can. Because if an emergency comes up, you don't want to have to dip into your 401k for a loan because you didn't have that emergency money set aside. So make sure you've got some fairly liquid emergency money set aside just in case.
We got one here from Sam, who listens in Illinois, and he says, ask Mr. Bonacorsi if it's important to have some estate planning done when you're in your mid-40s.
Absolutely. I mean, who knows when lightning will strike.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. You can start your estate planning at any age. Remember, if you own something, you have an estate. And unless you determine how that's going to be passed on, unless you have some type of documentation or designation to determine who's going to receive that at death, the state will come in and take that. So if you own something, you should have some type of estate planning. Now, that may be as simple as putting a beneficiary on an IRA or a life insurance policy. It may be as simple as making somebody a joint owner, or, you know, it may be something a little more complicated where you need a will written up, or you decide to use some type of trust or whatever. But absolutely, estate planning is key at any age. Remember, in most cases, it is not irrevocable. So you can go in and make changes as time goes on if your life changes.
Yeah. Got one more kind of down that same line, along those same lines, because we've talked about this before, but I love this nickname. Disney says, ask Michael if I really, seriously, I'm a single man. I do have some nieces and nephews. I'm in my early 30s, but do I need to already have a will?
Yeah, once again, absolutely, because if he wants his nieces and nephews to receive his assets when he passes on, you know, they could be named as beneficiaries, but he should have a will so he can say, look, you know, I want Mary, Joe, and Tom to receive my assets. I want Mary to receive half of them and Joe and Tom to receive a quarter each, or how, you know, they each receive equal amounts, however they want to do it. But absolutely, he should have a will. If not, the state is going to come in and they're going to determine who gets his assets in what amount.
Yeah, so good advice.
He really will have no control. And even though he may have meant for Mary to receive a little bit more or Tommy to have received a little bit less, it probably won't happen. And there'll be no paperwork there to show that he did it. So absolutely, your benefits, whatever you have, whatever your assets are at death, they should be clearly spelled out in some type of documentation. Like I said, either will, a trust, beneficiary designation, whatever, so that the right people get what you want them to get.
Yeah, why leave it to chance? Absolutely. Mike Bonacorsi, terrific stuff as always. I think we always learn a lot when we talk to you, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Terrific. Take care, Kate. Enjoy the spring.
All right, you too, Mike. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing last-minute deal. 1 dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. That's 1 dozen beautiful assorted roses, absolutely bursting with color, sent fresh from the fields and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99 plus a free glass vase. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone, and enter the secret code MOM20. Plus, for a very limited time, ProFlowers has an even sweeter deal for you. Order now and you can double your roses. That's right, double your roses and get free chocolates for just $10 more. Remember, Mother's Day is this Sunday, and this incredible last-minute deal expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code MOM20.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cookpot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Move Over Organic, the Pureganic Companion ebook and cookbook sets a new standard for purity in our diet with a 100% toxin-free lifestyle. It's time for an American renaissance in health and quality of life. This book is loaded with simple methods to holistically eliminate disease, original recipes, a 30-day diet plan, and much more. Purchase now at PureGanicCompanion.com. The Pureganic Companion, the preventative maintenance manual for the human body.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You can spend time in jail and forever. It's not enough. They're not going to bring my daddy back. But I just don't want him to get out and do it again.
I saw him. I hold his hand. He pressed my hand really hard. I was like, Daddy, we're going to be okay. He saw me. He started crying and he said no.
Wow, that is sad and tough to listen to. That is the voice of Joanna Portillo. Her father, Ricardo Portillo, was refereeing a game of football, a soccer league. A Hispanic soccer league for children between the ages of 5 and 17 in Salt Lake City. And a player was cited for an infraction, so he issued him a yellow card. And if he had gotten another one, he would have been ejected from the game. So the 17-year-old player turned around and punched him in the face. So at first they thought he only had minor injuries, but at the hospital they discovered he had serious internal head injuries. So for 7 days he was in critical condition. Sadly, this past weekend he died from those injuries. So the teenager is in juvie now. The police initially charged him with aggravated assault, but they are probably going to upgrade the charges because of Portillo's death. Just awful. The league has a no-tolerance policy and kicks out players if they engage in violence towards each other, referees, or parents. And this family, that was the one daughter. The family, which has three daughters and three grandchildren, are just in shock. And he moved to the United States 16 years ago. And loves the country, all that kind of stuff, is an American citizen now. And the family just can't believe it. You know, there was a It's strange, but this happened overseas. When this story came out, you do a little digging, and there was another attack like this in the Netherlands. There were two 15-year-olds and a 16-year-old who beat up a 41-year-old linesman during an amateur soccer game. The linesman's son was playing in the game when it happened, and the linesman, Richard Neuheisen, fell into a coma and died the next day. You know, there is just something wrong when you take a game to this level. It's just sick and twisted. Can this kid get tried as an adult? That would be the best thing. You know, I mean, it's not right. It's absolutely not right. One punch, boom, and that's it. And so you think about it, what can they upgrade this to? Because punching someone does not automatically mean a lack of concern for human life. You know, he wasn't stabbed and all that stuff, but boy, this is just one of the saddest things that this happened. It should not have happened. You know, you can't breathe life back into this guy. The family's stuck, let's face it. And now this kid his life is hanging in the balance. And, you know, so this is as a result of freaking out about getting a yellow card. And you think about, you think about where that punch must have landed, where the shot was. That's what I'm thinking about. He must have really hauled off and hit him for sure. But there's got to be something that has to deter these kids from behaving that way. You know, punching someone and having that in the heat of passion, having that happen, maybe first degree manslaughter, maybe 15 years in prison. You know, this is debatable in the courts. That's what will happen with whatever attorney ends up representing him. But the daughter is, of the three, just completely distraught. And can you blame her? Has to be the worst thing ever just for this infraction. Wow. Crazy, crazy things happening. Big, big time. That's one of the craziest for sure. All right, some odds and ends, too. Some things that happened on the day that you might not have seen. Let's fill in the blanks a little bit for you. I get it. You burrow in. It's the start of a work week. And you hear a few little things here and there. And we know what the big ones are that are playing, especially when it comes to Benghazi. And is there really keeping up the pressure on Benghazi might be a super smart thing that happened here. So maybe Daryl Issa, when he is leaned all over this, the California congressman, he was right. Because now you have a lot of Democrats who are saying, no, tell us the whole story. Let's not get this scrubbed up report. What took place here? These things that we were told on the air are not true. Why didn't something different happen in Benghazi? What was the road that led up to the emails that are completely different from the story that was sold to America? And, you know, we deserve to know. We deserve to know what the truth of this is, especially, let's face it, we're putting a ton of time into it. With all the hearings and everything else, you know, that's taxpayer money. So if we're in the business of finding out what truly happened to our ambassador and three others, then let's get the true skinny on it and cut the nonsense, all the orchestrated nonsense that's going on. It should have been clear the first time around, and then we wouldn't have to go back and forth. I mean, doesn't this constantly seem to be the problem? Oh, we can't say Islamic terrorists, we can't say terrorism, we can't use that word, and then, oops, ultimately in the end, geez, we have to do that. And you know, people were being threatened to shut up and stand down, and that's not right. And good for them for coming forward and saying something about what happened on September 11th, 2012, and in the days after that. You know, the Wednesday is the big hearing, but the former deputy chief says that he was told to back off. He was told to stand down. And think about that while this compound is being attacked. So specifically, our diplomat wondered why four U.S. special ops soldiers were not permitted to travel to Benghazi on a plane the morning of September 12th. Well, how did that happen? And this guy is Greg Hicks. He testified once. He'll testify again. He was the U.S. Deputy Chief of Mission in Libya. And he said back in April that the Libyans that I talked to and the Libyans and other Americans who were involved in the war have told me that Libyan revolutionaries were very cognizant of the impact that Americans and NATO air power had with respect to their win. And that they're under no illusions that American and NATO air power won that war for them. And he says in his personal opinion, a fast mover flying over Benghazi at some point as soon as possible might very well have prevented some of the bad things that happened. And there were some awful, awful things that happened. And he suggested that the Libyan government would have granted the U.S. permission to fly the planes. The Libyans were hoping we were going to come bail them out of the mess. They were surprised that we, as Americans, that the military forces didn't arrive. They only arrived on the evening of September 12th. In February, Joint Chiefs Chairman General Martin Dempsey was asked by the senator from New Hampshire why the F-16s at the airbase in Italy weren't deployed that night. And Dempsey said, this is in the middle of the night now. These are not aircraft on strip alert. They're there as part of our commitment to NATO and Europe. So we looked at the timeline. It was pretty clear that they would take up to 20 hours to get there, and it was the wrong tool for the job. Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, said that unfortunately there was no specific intelligence or any kind of indication of an imminent attack on U.S. facilities at all in Benghazi. Without adequate warning, there wasn't enough time to given the speed of the attack, for armed military assets to respond. So these are still some questions that are hanging out there. And the bottom line is they didn't deal with the aftermath correctly at all. So the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee gets to hear again from Hicks and a bunch of others. They're calling them whistleblowers, the gang of whistleblowers, Wednesday on the tragedy at Benghazi, which ended in the deaths of four fellow Americans. And which included not only Chris Stevens, the ambassador, but Information Officer Sean Smith, former Navy SEALs Tyrone Woods, and Glenn Daugherty. And I hope they get to the bottom of it, that they get the unscrubbed edition of what happened here. I mean, sure, you couldn't expect to get a team in place within minutes, but would it have made a difference if they had hurried up and how many hours would it have taken for the planes to get there, for some kind of assets to get there and help? It was just much too late. By the time they arrived, everything was already wrapped up, well wrapped up. And can you imagine they were just left hanging? It's like the Marines saying that they never leave a man behind. Boy, we left four of them. We left four of them exposed, and then, worse, adding more to this, didn't come up with the clear-cut answers, and now find that in a series of emails that there was some real problems with this Benghazi thing right from the get-go. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, time to look at the numbers, another version of We Can Count.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show.
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show.
Presented in part by GCN.
Can count. I love that high note at the end. That was pretty cool. I don't think I've ever heard that. All right, so let's talk about this 3D printed gun. Everybody is talking about it. In fact, I was just looking at the little video of it. A Texas group run by a self-described anarchist posted what appears to be the first video of the live firing of this handgun that was created with a printer. And it shows a single shot being fired from the Liberator, a plastic handgun, with the exception of its metal firing pins, assembled from parts made with the printer. The gun is unscathed after the test. The clip doesn't reveal anything about the range or accuracy, of course. And the group is funded by a 25-year-old law student, Cody Wilson. He posted instructions for the gun online so other people can duplicate it. The gun was created by a Dimensions SST printer, which can be bought online for $8,000. So, $8,000. He fired it over the weekend. He posted the video to YouTube, and then he has now talked about the gun a little bit. But this is what's interesting. The reports of the test firing have reignited calls to ban 3D printed guns, which a lot of people say could easily fall into the wrong hands and create safety concerns because they'd be, check this out, invisible to metal detectors. New York's Charles Schumer, Senator Schumer, is one of several politicians really kicking in to clamp down on this ban that's of these guns created with the printers. He says passing this law would not only prevent people from making these parts, it would raise awareness on the issue. We're facing a situation where, this is Schumer, where anyone, a felon, a terrorist, can open a gun factory in their garage. Yeah, it's the wild, wild west, as if we didn't know that, right? And there are less expensive printers, by the way, where you're looking at $2,800, where you can still do the printable gun thing. Mm. Wow. $15,000 for what? Chicago guard Marco Benelli has been fined that amount of money for making an obscene gesture during the Bulls' 99-93 win over the Nets on Saturday. It was announced by the NBA. They always wait a couple days, then they tell you how much it's going to cost. The funny thing is I would faint if I was fined $15,000. I'm sorry. For him, that's nothing. It's a night on the town, perhaps. That's it. You might not want to pay it, but it's not going to break the bank, if you know what I mean. Internet sales tax, will it break your bank or make you tear your hair out? Yep, you're going to have to be figuring that out. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to pay taxes on the stuff you order online. It's funny because I'm sort of that in-between person. I order stuff online. Not everything, but I do order stuff online. And I just did order a bunch of stuff online for my brother. So the U.S. Senate has passed the Marketplace Fairness Act. They put it to a vote. It went through, and it went through in a pretty big way, 69-27. So it goes to the House. The House comes up with it, their own version, votes yes on it. Boom, the president signs it, and the rest is history. Because until now, online shoppers haven't had to do this. You haven't had to do this. You get your stuff from e-commerce sites, mostly tax-free. Older laws require stores to collect sales tax on goods shipped to states where they have a physical presence, like a distribution center or a store. But there haven't been sales taxes for products sold across state lines. It was too complicated having to juggle the sales tax laws and the amounts from all 45 states of sales tax. So states that collect sales tax have different rates depending on whatever it is being sold. So alcohol, for example, could be higher. But, you know, now the most recent Supreme Court ruling that addressed the issue was like in the 90s, right, when Internet commerce was non-existent and the computer software not as advanced as we have now. So advocates are happy about this for the online sales tax because they say current technology makes it possible to simplify and automate the task of collecting sales tax for the states, and that's it. But it's not happening yet. First, it has to go through the House. Let's see what happens with the House. And then it would have to kick in to law, so that's not going to happen probably for the, at least through the summer, through the rest of the year, probably the fall or the beginning of next year. And you know how much money this is going to bring in? There were $225.5 billion in online sales in 2012. So imagine that. That's $23 billion in uncollected sales tax revenue that, you know, give or take. Whew. Five states, by the way, have no statewide sales tax. Alaska, Delaware, Montana, New Hampshire, and Oregon. People who live in a state without sales tax are not going to be charged on stuff that they have shipped to their home state, but businesses based in those states will have to collect sales tax for things shipped to other places. Ooh, that would be nightmarish if they live there, but good for the people who live there. There's a reason for that, for what they pay for other things. So they get it in a much different way, let's say, unfortunately for them. Okay, how about Amanda Knox? Have you been following this story? I've been following this story. Why? Because NBC just pumped it through my television a million times when she was in trouble the first time. So here's the scoop. Amanda Knox and her ex-boyfriend, Rafael Solito, are accused in the 2007 killing of a 21-year-old, Meredith Kircher, in Italy. They were roommates. So she gets through the first hurdle. And now, as it is in Italy, they can do the cases again and again and again a couple of times. So in an appeal, if she loses, she will have to go to prison. She could go back to prison. I would say that it's a terrible situation to be in. She's 25 years old. She's waiting for her memoir to be published, and it's called Waiting to Be Heard. She was paid $3.8 million in advance for the book, and she says that she's gotten death threats since she's been home, and she said she doesn't ever want to be caught in a situation that Meredith was caught in, the roommate, where somebody is able to overpower me because I just don't know what to do. And she says the people fixated on me are just not normal people. So there's all kinds of theories. A jury overturned her conviction in 2011. She flew home to Seattle. Everybody was happy. An Italian appeals court overturned the acquittal earlier this year. But it's just a matter of whether the U.S. State Department will extradite her to be retried, because we do have an extradition with Italy. So she theoretically would have to be extradited. And the possibility of a retrial... She says, there's no evidence against me. There's nothing that links me to this murder. I am not present at the crime scene. I'm just not. She said that theories from Italian police and prosecutors involved in what they were saying was a sex game gone wrong were absurd, and that she never took part in any of the things that they were describing. Ugh. She better hope that the State Department doesn't extradite her, but what do you do? When you have that agreement with the country, there's a reason why we have that agreement in place. And so they would be violating it by not honoring it. And I would honor it. So I would imagine that it may be a choice of a no choice. You might have to go back to Italy. Such a shame. Boy, that thing was really dragged out for a very, very long time. Any thoughts on the show that you want to share or something on your mind? Do it, AmericaTonight.net.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.